Welcome to the State of API, a podcast about APIs. We cover everything API, from productizing and monetizing APIs through to managing, developing, and scaling APIs. I'm Scott Middleton from Terram, and throughout this series, I'll be interviewing experts and leaders in the field of APIs, as well as sharing my own views from time to time. Emily, thank you for coming on this podcast. Really excited to talking about APIs product. You're an API product manager at PEXA. Welcome. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
This is actually our third attempt. We've had the most disastrous start to a podcast anyone could imagine, mostly my fault. So we're going to jump into it. But Em, tell me, I want to just hear a little bit about PEXA, and we're going to jump into API product management specifically. But I was so excited to have you on after seeing your talk at API Days Australia, where you were talking about why product management matters for APIs and what it's all about. It was awesome for me to hear someone that shares my same ideas. I think we all like a bit of validation, but just really excited to dig into it and share those ideas, because I think it's such an important, you know, often APIs are such a technical topic, but really you need product management in there.
Yes, absolutely. So I guess first I'll start with PEXA. So PEXA is a digital property settlement platform where the transaction of property or e-conveyancing takes place across Australia. So if you're selling a house or you're purchasing a home, it's likely that your conveyancer has used PEXA to go through that transaction. And my role as an API product manager there, did you want me to speak?
Yeah, I would love. So tell me a little bit about your role. Where does it fit in the organization?
Yes. So I report directly into our chief product officer, which is great because it means I'm sitting squarely in product, when I know typically other organizations might put API products in technology. By being aligned to product, I'm able to keep more of a customer focus and customer centricity, rather than necessarily just being technology led, which can sometimes dilute that customer focus in APIs.
So you've got responsibility for all of the API products that you, any APIs you ship, is my understanding. And then you have, how do you do delivery? Like, does the team sit with you? Is it one team? Is it 20 teams?
Yeah. So we have, I actually don't know the entire number of squads. I'm thinking maybe close to 10, maybe even more, but yeah, I can double check on that. But yes, so there is not one API squad, I guess, is the answer. We have an API Center of Excellence team who enable all of our squads to deliver APIs. And I work with all the product owners of those individual squads to help inform those roadmaps with the API priorities. Obviously, there are other priorities that go into consideration as well. But yeah, I'm working across all. So
that's a lot of APIs to deal with 10 squads, I can imagine.
I wish that it was every single squad is working on an API at that point in time, but there are always other priorities, of course. So I don't get 100% delivery capability.
Yep. And we can kind of, I think it'd be interesting to come a bit later back to the delivery model, and I think you've got a center, like your center of enablement as well. Be really interesting to touch on, but let's dig into the reason why we're all here, which is API product management specifically. And you've come to API product management from actually a really interesting background. I think often, as we've said just before, like it's a very technically driven area usually, but you've come to it from sales, pre-sales, and implementation management. So I think that brings actually a really unique and interesting perspective. And you were sharing with me just before we started recording around the implementation management you did, got you really exposed to what good and bad APIs are, really.
Yeah. Exactly. And also, I was able to get really close to our customers and actually hear a lot of their pain points or frustrations as they were beginning to use our APIs as well. So when I eventually became API product manager, I had a lot of existing knowledge of our customer base and known pain points or friction points and opportunities. So I think if I were to look potentially at another API product manager, if you were to recruit for one, I think definitely going outside of, you know, that technical lens is beneficial. It doesn't necessarily need to be that technical role. There can be other elements that add to it. So
it's a really, this is really interesting because as we both know, it's usually very technically driven ex-engineer. And often it's like, no, they've got to be very technical, but you've definitely brought an interesting perspective. I've got to ask before we jump into APIs product, this is really related, but in all your work on the other side of APIs, as the person consuming them on the coalface, probably with like deadlines and things to work to make sure an implementation succeeded, what makes a good API, like your standout as a consumer or implementer?
It's definitely documentation. So documentation that you don't need to ask questions for, everything is well explained, and it really allows that self-service capability, so you're not having to stop, start and go back to that source and double check things. That makes a great API. I think also the onboarding, so the initial connectivity, that can be really challenging, particularly with some, if you're dealing with a bank, they might have a lot of firewalls to get through, as an example. So that also, having documentation to make it easier, so curl commands as an example, also helps in terms of implementing those APIs.
Yeah, really interesting. So does a Word doc pass the sniff test? Get sent a Word doc, if someone's like, hey, connect to our API, here's a Word doc, what's your immediate reaction?
Yeah, I guess it would definitely make you think that the organization doesn't necessarily prioritize their APIs. I guess the industry best practice at this point in time is to have a developer portal where your API documentation is centralized. Word documents, PDF documents, I would hope, are a thing of the past.
Unfortunately, they're not. Anyway, all right, so important topic is it, because we're about to talk APIs product and the customer is what mattered, so I thought good to go down that rabbit hole, so to speak. But let's go. So tell me what does an API product manager do?
Yes, so I guess my chief role is to be the voice of the customer and to determine the market fit of our APIs for our customer, to ensure that the roadmap that I'm developing, or the strategy that I'm developing for our roadmap, really does provide value for our customers and also for our organization in alignment with our strategic direction. So there's kind of a bit of a dance going on to delight our customers, give them value, and also continue to provide value back to our organization. And to do that, a lot of it is around customer research and feedback and validation, as well as, of course, looking after the go-to-market strategy, because there's no point putting APIs in the world if they're not going to get used. So you also need to work with your sales teams or your marketing teams to ensure that there's a go-to-market strategy for your APIs.
Yeah, okay. And why does this matter? Why should I care? If I'm someone sitting there saying, well, we're fine, we've got APIs, why do I need a product manager? Why do I need this extra role? Yeah,
absolutely. I guess it's not a case of if you build it, they will come with APIs. You need to make sure that they have value for your customer. And the only way to achieve that is to use product management practices, to know who your customer is, so customer personas, to go through journey mapping and understand your customer processes and where are the potential opportunities for APIs. If you don't necessarily invest in that product management, you're certainly investing to build your APIs, and that's not cheap by building APIs, API development is not, it's an expensive
exercise. As someone commits to writing a line of code, your cost just went up massively. Is the way I think about it, especially because once you've built something, it's harder to throw it away. You've got to extend it, you teched it,
But you don't want to build something that then sits untouched. And if you're not using product management, then there's a risk of that you're just putting APIs out in the world that don't actually have any user interest or relevance or value. So,
and I also think of it as sometimes it's not. There can sometimes be an aversion to the role of product management. It might be, oh, we've already got product managers in this organization. They do something else. Especially if you're not a software company, you might have product manager for a credit card or something. That's their responsibility. But it's also just about the disciplines of product, as you say, the practices. You don't need someone with the title. An architect or an engineer could easily think about customer journey maps or whatever it might be.
I think you're spot on. I think it is absolutely just about the practices. And in my case, you know, having that title means it's a full-time role, but, you know, it may not necessarily be so, but going through those product management practices when you're going to think about putting an API out in the world at least means that when you do start that API design, you have a very firm view of what is going to deliver value. You're not wasting your time or your business's time or your technology team time in developing something that completely misses the mark. So it is really important to go through that product management process to have that clear idea of what is value.
And so maybe we get into that a bit. So how do you start, whether it's disciplines or a role, you know, and you're managing an API as a product, how do you get in? Like, what does that look like to you? What are some of the practices?
Yeah, absolutely. For me, it means staying extremely close to my customers. So getting out in front of them as much as possible, conducting interviews to ask them questions. And it might just be, you know, open questions around what data is of interest to you, which we can then, you know, help craft into our product strategy. But also, you know, what are your current pain points? What are your inefficiencies in your process? Where might be opportunities for us to provide workflow APIs as an example? So interviews are really important for me. We've done surveys as well with our API customers. That's another method you might want to use for your customer research and feedback. We mentioned journey mapping, definitely end-to-end journey mapping to understand a process, pain points and opportunities is really beneficial. And overlaying the jobs to be done framework as well. So there's a few different levers, and I think most product managers will know that and go through that. But for me, central to all of it is really that customer interaction and engagement. I want to hear it from the customers themselves. So.
And this can be a challenge sometimes, especially if you're the API team, but even not the API team. So are you kind of free to just go chat to a customer? Do you need to organize with sales to have that meeting?
Right. The other aspect to it is, you know, the internal side of it. I don't own those customer relationships. We do have account management or relationship managers who I work really closely to. So it's in my interest as a product manager to stay close with our own internal stakeholders so that when I do need to speak to a customer, they're on board. They can either join or they can choose not to join. But there's a level of trust and engagement between us internally as well.
Yeah, awesome. So you've got to get permission to speak to people, kind of, like permission may be a harsh word, but
yes, I mean some customers I have an open channel with, but that's based on years of trust building.
Right.
But I would certainly want to at least let the relationship manager know that that's happening, just in case something arises later down the track that they need to be across. So,
and how do you? Something that I see a lot is, especially in API land, like the challenge of having that conversation with a customer. Someone else in the organization owns the relationship. APIs are a bit hard to understand, or maybe come as an afterthought. Like, what are some tips you use to get on the agenda or have the conversation? Or maybe you've got a new salesperson on the team where you've got to build a bit of trust or something like that. Yeah. How do you win the right to have the conversation with a customer in the way that you want to?
So I think what's really important is to know, yes, APIs are technical, but doesn't necessarily mean that the person that you're speaking to about APIs is a technical person themselves. So you need to be able to communicate it from a business perspective and understand what resonates with that customer person. Might be a product manager on the other side of it. It might be a business operations manager. And you also need to be able to communicate it to your own relationship managers. It can't just be technical jargon. You need to be able to break it down in business terms. So
do you talk in like customer problems to them? Is that the, yeah, so exactly. Things that matter, not an API becomes a delivery.
That's
just how you're going to deliver on the value. And just on this one, who do you speak to about the API and how do you weigh their feedback differently? So, you know, do you go and speak to a developers and testers and the GM and you're like, all right,
so
cool.
All of the above. Everyone you mentioned we speak to. So developers are absolutely the primary customer of your APIs, and they're going to be the ones who use it. If it's hard to use, they're going to be the ones who give you that feedback around why it was hard to use and how you can improve. But the business managers can sometimes actually be those decision makers around whether or not to use your APIs. So you may need to have a different discussion with them, and also the feedback that they give you might be around, for instance, their operational inefficiencies, and that can inform your roadmap as well. So I think there's a range of API customers, and all of them are providing a different lens that the API product manager needs to take into consideration. When you talk about like the weight of each of those perspectives, I wouldn't necessarily say one is worth more or less. I think developers are definitely your primary, but if your decision maker doesn't feel that your API delivers value, then that's going to stop you from progressing there.
And then how do you balance the because that it's then, you know, if you're the pure self-service, you almost weight all of your feedback on the developer experience, because you kind of know if they love it and implement it, it gets embedded in a business or gets used, and you can kind of build from there. In your one, you've sounds like you've got to weight a bit of both on the feedback front. How do you are there times when you've got to make a compromise between what the developer or the user, really the developer, wants and what the
Definitely. Look, there's no easy kind of way to go about it. The way that I usually think about it is from a cost-benefit analysis. What's the greatest benefit? How many users or developers or businesses will get the benefit of that piece, and that will help that prioritization process? If you just have one customer asking for a change or a new API, that's going to be treated differently for prioritization as opposed to a piece of feedback which we've gotten from 10 different customers. So you can kind of weight it in that way. So I wouldn't necessarily dismiss it saying, you know, that's from the business, I'm not going to look at that one, or that's from the developer. But instead, how common is that piece of feedback? How many people will that piece of feedback, if we improve it, give benefit to? So.
And how, because developers are quite savvy with how products are built, so you can't in other realms you maybe don't have to worry about that factor so much, but you know, developers are also building things for users, and that how much do you, and I guess one of the things people worry about is, if I go and ask for feedback, I'm going to have to do something about it and act on it, and people might be disappointed. How do you think about that with developers when you're getting feedback from developers?
I think, so you're right, developers probably have a higher expectation around what the API should look like, what standards you're using, all of that. I think we, when we're having those discussions, are quite transparent with the, I guess, prioritization process and the other factors. I would never tell a customer, if I'm going into an interview, you know, out of this, you will definitely see something in the next month. So it really is setting those expectations, keeping that level of trust and that communication around what they might see. And also, I think why I love working with developers is that they can be quite candid in their feedback, which is really good. We need that honesty, but we need to provide the same kind of level
of open. You got to. It's a reciprocal thing. They're like, that's what I think about a lot. It's like they're both somewhat hard, and I'm an ex-engineer, like both one of the harder user groups to deal with, but also one of the best, because they also understand. And if you bring them on the journey and explain it, they'll be very good in helping you fix things. And because they also understand, like, oh, okay, there's a bug. Like, it's not like they've never shipped code without a bug.
Well, that's right. They've probably had their own internal prioritization, you know, bits of friction and, like you say, defects. So they can be more understanding as long as you've communicated with them, so they're not left in the dark.
And so... just kind of continuing with this theme of who are your customers. So we've mentioned a couple of stakeholders. You know, who are your go-to role titles, let's say, as in terms of when you think about customers of an API product?
So it really does depend on the organization. If you're dealing with a bank, they will probably have a project manager or product manager who's that central point of contact. Whereas if you're dealing with a software provider, you're likely dealing with sometimes a managing director or sometimes a developer themselves. So different organizations, different sized organizations will have different structure. So there's no one, I guess, type of, you know, this is the only title that I choose to deal with. Really, it's, yeah, completely.
Depends on your segment. Let's talk about those two segments for a second. So you've got banks as a segment, and then you've got software providers as a segment.
We have law firms as well.
So. And law firm. Okay, so you've got three segments that couldn't be more different.
Yeah, they are.
It's good, just the context you're describing is like, you know, it's what you've got to be thinking about if you're shipping an API into that context, because you've got a pre-approved scope, budget. It was probably decided on last year. There's not, you're not going to go back and change it and influence it. But equally, you've got to manage that with the product you're building, because things are going to come out in the course of that project. And then just changing tack. So then you've got that kind of corporate, and banks are on the strong end of regulation and et cetera. Yep. And then you've got sometimes completely the opposite end of the spectrum. You've got developers like, just give me the docs. Give me access to the API. I'll play around and then I'll tell you if I want to use it.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
So how do you weight these weights? I'm using this word again, but like how do you
balance.
It's quite challenging because you've got a bank, the business case is clear, but sometimes the scope is questionable.
Yeah.
And you've got to work through that. Whereas you've got the developers, you kind of, the scope's much easier and they often know exactly what they need and want and it's immediate, but it's harder to quantify the volume, right? How do you wrestle with that one? Do you segment the product and release for different budget for different people?
Or? Yeah, we definitely have some APIs, you know, can use across all segments, which is great. There's, you know, everyone can benefit. But then you're right, there are also others which are very much segment specific. And so that's, again, when it comes through that product management framework and discipline, we need to think about that, you know, benefit, cost benefit exercise and alignment to our business strategic direction around which APIs are going to get prioritized for delivery if it is for a particular segment. And I guess for me, I wouldn't necessarily do that, you know, just making a decision because I like it. I would always make sure it's in alignment with my business's strategic direction. They will have goals. Your business should have goals. And the decisions that I'm making around which segment to prioritize or which API for a segment should always tie back to that wider picture for your business. So,
yeah. Okay. And what about how do you elevate APIs and the conversation around APIs when it comes to strategy? Because and just so often when I've seen a lot that it's, we're talking business strategy, it's business strategy, we're planning our business goals. There's not really a voice of API in a lot of situations in those conversations, even though APIs are the biggest global driver of traffic, even though APIs can only ever get stronger in the amount of, you know, software to software communication that's going on. So just how do you elevate APIs into that conversation?
Look, to be honest, that has been a journey in itself, and it really has been an organizational shift in mindset. In previously viewing it, like you said, on kind of on the side, on the instead bringing it inside and understanding, like you say, it is central to most digital transformation now, and you need to think about it as part of your core business. So certainly, it's been made easier for me now that my business views them, and I guess the core strategy does have that included. But yes, it has been a journey to get here, and previously, I guess it was really around, you know, stakeholder relationship building, influencing, who are the influencers in your business that you can give visibility on the importance of APIs, to continuing to talk about it till people get sick of hearing about it. But also, I guess what's been really helpful for us is that, you know, some of our customers will talk about it for us to some of our executives. And that's also, I guess, another lever to influence that in bringing into the strategy. So.
And how do you bring the technology voice into APIs and what's possible and the design of APIs?
So I guess for me, there's always that first, you know, initial feedback process, which is very much on that product side of things and doesn't necessarily need that technical stakeholder. But when you start getting into that delivery, so if that item has gone into your squad, you will be working with your business analysts, and your developers to start on that design of your API spec. So for us, we use OAS. And that, again, you might want to go out and get your customer feedback. So your business analysts or developers are able to listen to your customers around your design feedback as well. So yeah, the squad works closely in the OAS design or the spec design, but as a product manager, you should be participating in that. You should be setting up those customer meetings and getting feedback so everyone can hear it to refine that design.
Yeah, okay. And so going back to your setup at Pexa, you've got multiple teams that could be building APIs at any one point, and you are drawing them in to listening to the customer problem. Yep. Whether that's directly or you're capturing it and yep. relaying it, and you're helping them really understand the problem. Is that how you see the role? That's and then they're going to find how to solve it. They're going to tell you like, oh, here's how we could solve it.
Yeah, I mean, look, I was product owner of an API team myself just before I became product manager. So I guess maybe yeah. I'm a little bit more invested in that design process itself.
Yeah, but, yeah.
You don't necessarily need to be. You can absolutely say, you know, I've set the problem. Here's the problem statement. Here is the job to be done. Here's the additional bits and pieces of feedback. And then the squad will go through that solution design process. And you should be a stakeholder in terms of, you know, giving your insights or validation on that.
Well, just on that one, so you're really, what you're advocating for is bring the team in to listen to the customer problem. That's what you're.
I definitely think so. I think most good product management should do that. I don't think developers or business analysts should be too far from customers or product owners. It helps center their delivery work as well. They should still have a customer focus. And I know when I was working as a product owner and I worked with my developers, some of the most exciting times for them was working with customers, and they, you know, now moving on to other roles, are looking for opportunities to continue to work with customers, because it gives additional meaning to work, you know, to be able to actually hear customer feedback directly, you know, what customers love, what they didn't like. It is actually quite an exciting thing, and I think everyone should have that opportunity. So,
and how do you then, people? So you've gone away, you've figured out what customer wants. Do you kind of, you're saying you're a stakeholder, but it also strikes me that, do you kind of have a veto on final API designs? Do you,
I guess,
you got to control that as the product? Like how do you, yeah, is that when it comes to the nitty gritty, are you saying like, no, I don't want that on the backlog? Like, you've got to put this on because that's going to solve the customer problem. Is that where we're
advocating for the customer every step of the way. I am, we have our API playbook at Pexa, which outlines kind of the different steps that you go through to develop or deliver an API. And a level of approval of that is to get through product management as well, make sure it ticks all the dots. Likely, it shouldn't go to that end. I should have been involved during the process anyway and have added my two cents. You know, if there's one additional field that I know will make or break that API for a customer, I'm going to push to include that. That's part of my kind of requirement from product. So yeah. I am absolutely advocating for the customer every step of that.
And who writes the docs?
That would be
how important they are. How, where does that get written?
So our API playbook, we kind of have outlined the requirements for APIs to go onto the API developer portal. And as part of that, the squad need to ensure that they have the documentation. So the OAS is an example, but there might also be additional documents that are needed to support that API. And the I think it would usually be the business analyst who generates that documentation, and I'll do a review of it as well once it's up on the developer portal, and there's a few other reviews, but yeah, the squad themselves.
Everyone is a big advocate for, you know, designing your docs first. Do you do your docs first? Do you do them
absolutely
later in the
process? Yep. Yes, so API first means design first or contract first, and we absolutely go through that process. And that, again, has been a journey because that's kind of a newer delivery way of thinking as well. But basically, you don't touch code. You sit and you design that API and get that design right, and then you can go and code the API. So we go through that same process.
Do you share that design with the customer or with some customers?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there's some APIs, if it's a simple get API, you don't necessarily need to go out and get feedback. I wouldn't want to waste the customer's time. But for something chunky that, you know, we know there's going to be differing views, absolutely getting in front of the customers and saying this is the proposed design, and allowing them to, you know, give feedback. If there is something that's missing, we can get it before we start coding. So, yeah, we do.
And have you ever had a bad thing happen by sharing it early?
No, not really. I think
I was fishing for a no. Yeah.
The only bad thing that can happen is you get either too much feedback at that point, or no feedback.
Which I just know a lot of people get a bit scared when for instance, when I'm working with a team, I'm like, or an executive, I'm like, you've got to put the actual docs in front of someone right now. Oh, but we're not ready yet. We haven't thought about it. And I'm like, honestly, just put it in front of them. Exactly. Nothing bad will happen.
No, that's true. Like I said, the best thing, it's a good and bad thing if you get too much feedback. That's exactly what you wanted. And it's just a matter of you working through it. But you haven't touched code yet. So going out to a customer, there's really nothing bad that can happen at that point in time. It's only positive. So.
And just to kind of round out our chat, I do want to touch on you are working with APIs in a regulated industry. It's something that a lot of people have to deal with, whether it's regulation, strict requirements, government policy, you name it. So what are just some of the important things that you think about to balance the, you know, we talk to our customers and we ship them a design? And is there anything that really factors in your process or way of thinking when it comes to regulation?
Yeah, definitely. I think what's really important if you are working in a regulated environment is, as a product manager, you're also working closely with your legal team. And if you have a reg team as well, and maybe if you're developing a new API solution, checking in with your reg team just to make sure it adheres to, you know, your reg requirements. Potentially, if you're building a particular API for a particular segment, there might be new legal terms around that. So working closely with your legal to kind of understand the requirements there. So API product, you absolutely are working with your squads for delivery, but there are also other stakeholders, reg, legal, marketing, sales, maybe you might have a pricing team as well. So you're looking after all of those functions. So,
yeah, awesome. Well, look, Emily, thank you so much for coming on. This has been just a wonderful conversation. Really appreciate you taking the time. Thanks for coming on.
No, thank you for having me again. And this has been really good to kind of relive the ins and outs of the role. So
it is such an important role, API product manager, and elevating APIs in the way that you know, the journey you've described and the way you're working with it. It is so important, and I just think it helps. It really helps the technology team, and partly so they can get more budget to do the things that they want to do. Because if you can articulate it in terms that a customer loves, that's how you get more budget. It's the easiest way to budget. But also, I think it just means when you ship stuff, people are going to use it and they're going to get value from it. And at the end of the day, that's why we all do what we do.
Yeah, purpose. Exactly. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you. Bye, everyone. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening. I hope you gained some valuable insights from today's episode. To catch the next episode in this series, visit terem.tech/podcasts. That's terem.tech/podcasts.